Motorcycles and misfits at the Recycle Garage. This is Liza, and today we got Zoe.
Hey.
Douglas.
Hey.
Megan.
Present.
Moti.
Mm-hmm.
John.
Yeah.
Justin.
Uh-huh.
And First Gear.
I should note there's like five
we already have a
dad right now.
We're all looking up the specs for the bikes we like.
Yeah. So I wanted to start
off. You're supposed to know this.
I wanted to start off today with Megan's ride report. She wanted to ride with David.
I have two ride reports.
She couldn't keep up. I mean, it's
yeah. I smoked you on Empire Grade. I pulled over twice
on
to
Empire
wait for
Grade?
You. Yeah, Empire Grade. I pulled over twice to wait for you. Sorry.
Right. Is this just going to be a big
no,
showing contest?
No.
Or
shut up.
Yeah,
so,
you should show your dick, Megan.
Two ride reports.
I did earlier.
With,
let's just say.
Let's just say David has a new nickname. We went up 9, made a left on Big Basin Way, all the way to Big Basin. I said, let's do the 236. I love this road. It's a little bumpy. It's got potholes, whatever. And he's like, I want to get back to the garage. I'm like, come on. This is one of my favorite roads. It won't take us forever. We'll get back to upper 9 and it'll be fine. And you're hemming and hawing about not wanting to go. I'm like, fine, whatever. And then I look over and I see two scooters, like 50cc scooters coming off of the 236. I'm like, if they can do it, you can do it. Come on. And you didn't. We turned around. It was kind of sad.
And now your turn.
So we'd had a ride. We'd had a pretty good ride. And it was getting late. And we decided we should probably head back.
Wait, by we, you mean you.
Yeah.
Because obviously, because it sounds like she wanted to keep going.
Well, so we stop, and she goes, so I really want to take this road. It's a goat road. It's got lots of twisties. It's really technical.
It's
and it's not very comfortable.
It's a great road. I'm
it's right. a fun road.
You know how to sell
and
it.
And she knows how to sell
it. It's a really good place to get hit by a car.
It is.
Yeah,
that's true.
But it's a fun road.
I know several people have gotten hit by a car.
It'll be the most fun you ever have getting hit by a car.
Yeah, we're going off a cliff.
Yeah.
There's no cliffs. It's fine. It's very flat.
So she continues on to go, then we'll hit Highway 9, and then another Empire Grade.
Felton Empire.
And then when we hit Nevada.
Right, yeah.
It was like, we did like 30, 40 miles maybe today.
It was about 2:30 in the afternoon. And we had to get back.
Okay, Mom.
Yeah. When you go out for a ride, you go out for a ride, and you do new roads. Come on.
Did you have fun?
Well, I think if I hadn't made the decision, we wouldn't be here to tell you this story. So.
You would have made it out just
Why?
Fine.
You would have died.
If the Vespa scooters could do it, you could do it. Scooter. So.
First of all, those scooters would probably be faster on 236 than you.
I like the 236.
Scooters actually handle really, really well.
I like the 236. It's one of my favorite roads in this area.
I like 236 too.
It's a lot of fun.
It's not even goaty.
You have 100 miles on your new tire, right?
Yeah, I do have 100 miles.
36 sucks.
236 does not suck.
I love it.
Fucking, it's like Swiss cheese on the road and there's gravel everywhere.
No, it's not.
So you slide around a little bit.
You got a DRZ.
No,
you
slide around a little bit.
Right. You got a DRZ.
Now, China Grade, that's goaty.
And
True.
The beginning of Jameson Creek.
Jameson is
goaty.
What was the ice cream
236,
grade?
Not
ice
so
cream grade.
Ice cream grade is
goaty. I'm glad you're sharing this with all the people in Japan and Russia who listen to us. I'm sure they're looking at all
No,
that.
No, they love ice cream grade in Japan.
They love ice cream.
Considering that people come from as far away as Japan and Europe to ride the roads around here, then maybe they're pulling
they
out a map and
ones.
Looking at what roads we're talking about.
So the second ride report was Zoe goes, Megan, can you ride behind me so we don't get pulled over? I need to go get gas. I'm like, sure, let's go. And she's on the CBR 600. And we're a block away from the gas station. And Zoe kind of cuts off to the side of the road. And I look at her. And we're literally across the street from the gas station.
I
go, let's race! I take off.
I'm just
and Zoe's power walking to get to the gas station. I came back.
Yeah,
I came back. I took my gear off and I came back and asked if he needed a push. And
I was like, no, I have this myself.
And some guy on a bike asked if you were okay, right? Yeah.
No. He's like, what's up? I'm like, out of gas. Gas station right there.
Yeah. My observation is you should increase your gear.
Mm. Okay.
No, she took off her gear and walked over.
Well, you see this in bikers who are getting more and more confident on their bike,
mm-hmm.
and you're starting to get to a point where you may be outperforming your 30-year-old bike.
She is. She definitely is. Like, she's getting that level.
Wow.
Coming from someone
I'm just saying,
yeah.
I'm just hearing a confidence in you. That to me is a little alerting.
The pride before the fall.
Yeah. You need to be prepared because a fall is coming.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure you're wearing the best gear you got.
Yeah.
Boots.
I need to find my boots.
It's going
to
hurt when you get that ninja going and then I borrow your bike and we go riding 236 and smoke you. It's going to hurt your feelings.
It's okay.
I also wanted to give her
it's a not going to hurt my feelings.
John is able of riding a motorcycle.
Yeah, I've hurt you.
In his lifetime.
What DRC are you going to ride?
Yeah, he's had it. He's going to
pedals. We're putting pedals on it.
No, I'm going to borrow your bike.
We can, no, I can drag you on the Trail 70. How about that?
As long as there's milk bait behind it.
And then when he gets going, just like with Lisa and let him blow by.
Yeah. I wanted to give a report of the mini bike races we did today.
Yeah, that was fun.
That David here challenged, down the challenge to newcomer John, who you didn't know, but we were out training him.
Yeah. On the bike that actually shifts in the second gear.
We were training him to be prepared, yes.
What's wrong with the Trail 70? Does one of them doesn't shift in the second?
It does.
He just doesn't know how to shift.
I was smashing.
Oh, okay.
I felt like I was going to break that bike. I was just kicking.
Well, why were you hitting it so hard? Gently.
You have to.
Okay. So we had them all lined up, and David is going up and down, taking a couple test runs. Mm-hmm. And then down at the end of the street, we see Mr. Friendly Police Officer standing there with his hands.
No, I got back up here. I was down.
Dude,
like,
your nickname should be fucking Cop Magnet.
I know, man.
Every week, right? But
like, I was
down.
Call him Donut.
I was like, end of the track.
Done.
Second it.
More shit is carried.
No,
all right.
We still have to vote. According to Robert's rules of order, we have a motion on the table.
I think we got done.
Aye.
Donut it is. Congratulations.
In the records, Donut. So Zoe's version is she's down at the end of the street holding traffic because there's tons of people.
And right across the street is the police station, like directly across the street from
me. That's probably where we err a little bit, that we drag race on the same street as the police station.
Yeah, which is a great idea.
I mean, mostly.
The best place to commit crime is right next to the police
station. Yeah, they never see it coming.
Right.
Yeah, except for when they do, and they're standing there with their hands on their heads, just like, what are you guys doing?
So I'm standing across, like, I'm standing there, I'm looking down, looking for cars, and then this guy just comes out of the shadows, and I notice, like, all of a sudden, he's just there. Cop standing directly across the street from me, 20 feet away, looking at me and looking down at the
car.
He's
a cop. Are you sure it wasn't Batman?
Meanwhile, the guys are full gear lined up, Megan and I on the bike behind with the camera ready
and I'm, like,
to go.
Briskly walking towards you.
You were running.
Shut it off, cop.
Yeah, I look down and I see the cop standing there and I'm like, okay, so Megan and I ride a street legal bike down there, and he gestures me over.
That pull up. Yeah.
And I pull up, I'm like, yes. And he goes, these friends of yours up here? Like, yes, they would be. I decided to go the full disclosure route. And he said, well, you can't be riding on the street. I noticed he doesn't have any plates on that bike. And I said, well, yes, but they've been instructed not to go past the parking lot, and we have somebody down here watching traffic, and I thought you just came out to see who would win the race.
Probably not too happy with that.
Yeah, and he said, yeah, not today.
signs Liza Miller is white,
like mouthing off to a cop.
Like, oh, I thought you just came to see the race, officer. And get away with it.
Things no one in my family would say.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, well, will you hold the other end of the finish tape?
Yeah,
you
hold on to your hair. Thank God you're here.
Just in time.
Ooh, can you get your radar? We're going to see how fast it's sent down.
There you go.
Exactly. I figure if you're all, like, evasive and run, let's just be up front. Join in the fun.
Yeah. In general, cops get nervous around people who aren't nervous of them.
That's true.
That is true.
Yeah. If you have demonstrably no fear of them.
When it's a bunch of adults riding mini bikes around up and down the street.
Let's just get them legal. Be like a big middle finger.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We're not speeding.
You're just going to give up?
We're not speeding.
I mean, Justin raises a pretty good point. When Kenny, the officer, came earlier today, and we were conversing, he was visibly nervous. He had some anxiety.
Playing with you.
He was totally playing with you.
I gave him the eyes.
Oh, did you? Like, better eyes or what?
He says, now I'm a friend of the force, and Kenny looks at him and goes, don't push it.
Right.
He was playing
with
you.
He was getting into his car. I mean, he'd already...
He's completely screwed with your head.
All right, so I'm going to just...
There are three types of cops in this world. There are the young ones who don't know what the hell they're doing and are afraid of the world.
Bad cops, worse cops, and dead cops.
There are the old ones,
John,
who have decided that the entire world is out to get them, and these are also the ones who do the whole "I am the sheepdog who fights the wolf." And then there are the old comfy ones, the ones who've been doing this long enough and have a sense of perspective. And the thing is, the first two you can manipulate and wrap around your finger in a heartbeat. The last ones are just going to do what they're going to do anyways because they really don't care what you think. And unfortunately, as far as trying to manipulate anybody, Kenny fits in the third category. He's not, he doesn't have his ego on it, right? Now, on the other hand, if you have the old guy who has his ego on it, right, that guy is the easiest one to control on the planet. Because he is so wrapped around his own shit.
Guaranteed justice.
Amen.
Guaranteed justice. Alright, so that wraps up our ride reports today. Hopefully the cops won't be out next week for the mini bike races.
Well, considering I think we've had cops intertwined the last 3 weeks.
But the good news is,
we just want to be free.
Beach traffic.
We want to be free to do what we want. We want to be free to ride. We want to be free to ride our machines without getting hassled by the man.
And
we want to get loaded.
Say it, brother. I think backup plan is cherry races in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean...
Ooh, you think we can get the chariot around the rotary? That would be fun.
That would be dangerous.
That also would get a lot of attention.
You mean Circle Park?
No, the...
Island
the roundabout.
Oh, the roundabout. that would be hilarious considering all the beach traffic.
No, you guys can do that. Yeah. Not with my bike, though.
All I need is a couple traffic cones.
We'd have to, like,
and somebody in an orange vest to look official with a clipboard.
Hey, I'm totally down for the idea. I'm going to create fake paperwork, a fake badge, official.
I can see this now already.
There were six people dressed up like
Mom?
Caltrans workers for Halloween 1 year downtown Santa Cruz, and they had a couple delineators and cones, and they're running around shutting off the streets.
We decided we would just follow it along.
And we need a couple people with GoPros.
Yeah.
Done.
And then we need a scapegoat when the police come with no pipes, you know, to rev it and run the ox.
I need you to get your DRZ running so you can head that way.
Wait, we shouldn't tell them because now they know it's on the podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
We'll have to bleep that.
That's not the plan, Ben.
Yeah, it's totally
fine.
Well, let's run a segment here. A couple weeks ago, we had Dan come by. He's the one who donated the DT400. And we got to know him. Let's hear that now. All right, so we got a new get-to-know session here. New guy just showed up today, Dan. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. He met us at a bike show a couple months ago and came around to check out what the heck we're doing here. How's it going so far?
It's going great. I've pretty much done exactly what I wanted to today. And
cool.
Happy to be here.
Let me ask you a couple questions.
Sure.
Where are you from?
I'm from originally Rhode Island. I just moved to Santa Cruz about a little over a year ago. Before that, I lived in Fresno, California for about 5 years. And
this is a definite move up.
Yeah, I think so. It's been I love it here.
I remember in the late 80s when Rhode Island went bankrupt.
Yeah.
And I was working at a store in Boston. Okay. We weren't allowed to take checks from anyone in Rhode Island because the checks weren't any good.
Wow.
Like, what?
Well, I was probably a little too young to write checks.
You're
in
covered.
The late 80s. But
I'm assuming they're out of it now.
Is that part of the SNL crisis?
We also have John here and Evelyn, who's working on her carbs in the background, so you may hear
Say
some
hi,
cursing or grunting. All right, so how did you get into writing?
Well, I did a little bit of dirt with my family when I was younger. Not a heck of a lot.
So you actually have parents who approve?
Yeah. Well, my father likes it. My mother, not very happy about it, but... I don't know, you know, I'm a safe guy. I know it's dangerous. I wouldn't do it if I thought that I was...
Well, that's too bad. Yeah. I don't know why you're a safe guy, but...
Well, I just, I don't feel like I'm an aggressive driver or anything like that, you know, so... Yeah, it's been a long time since I've gotten a car crash.
So dirt, you segued from dirt.
Yeah, and so I moved to Santa Cruz, you know, a little over a year ago, and basically... I'm living up in the hills, and I work on the west side, and, you know, Highway 1 is a parking lot, and I'm just, like, looking at the bikers zipping up and down the middle, and,
Oh, yeah, for people who don't know, we have arguably the best roads in the country that we can go ride on. It's just amazing. Sure.
So, I mean, my commute went from being an hour of, being stuck in the car to half an hour of being out in the... open, and it's fun instead of
and
you
how
know,
do you like
dreary,
splitting
so.
Lanes
I love it, you know. I'm not, again, I'm not like,
what's the phrase, do you pass cars on the left and the right?
I don't know.
Oh, it's the thing we
it.
Say around here. Passing cars so fast.
So yeah,
keep going with your energy.
Like, yeah, I'm not super fast. I don't split lanes going 70 or anything like that. But
so much fun.
Yeah,
but we don't condone it. No.
No.
Condone what?
Stay comfortable. That's
going
I try
fast
to stay comfortable.
While splitting.
Yeah.
Who doesn't condone it?
Officially, we don't.
Oh, we have an official stance.
Yes.
Yes. Don't do that.
Yeah. No. Don't do that.
Yeah.
If you do it, don't get caught.
So, what bike do you have now? What bikes have you had in the past? Or is this your first road? This is your first real street bike?
Yeah. I've got a couple of Enduros that I've been working on for the past year or two that haven't quite made it onto the road yet. But yeah, this is my first registered legal M1 license. It's a 2009 Suzuki DR650. Had about 4,000 miles on it when I bought it, and it's got at least almost double that now, maybe almost triple.
It is a great bike for here. I mean, you can hop on to distance, or you can really carve up the hills.
I love it. Does everything perfect for me.
There's a lot of dirt back roads too around here in this county that most people don't know about.
Yeah, I definitely do a lot of exploring and like checking out stuff. Probably going places I'm not supposed to, and that's a lot of fun. And you know, it's a really easy bike too. It's like no maintenance bike, you know, as close as you can get to that as you can, you know. It doesn't take much.
You got any special hobbies you want to share?
Special hobbies? I do all sorts of stuff. Let's see, I do a lot of mountain biking too, which is awesome in Santa Cruz.
Thrill seeker?
Not so much as maybe 10 years ago, but I still like getting out there and beating myself up, and, you know, I'm a camper and a fisherman, and professionally I'm an architect, so that's like...
Oh, cool.
And I'm a tinkerer, too. I like working with my hands. I like tearing stuff apart and getting dirty. And
my neighbor across the street who helps us out is an engineer.
Yeah.
And so we go to him for stuff, for help all the time.
Yeah. He's a structural engineer?
I just call him an evil genius.
An evil genius?
Train engineer.
A train engineer.
No. He built his own CNC machine, which we have access to.
Okay. He built it, huh?
Yeah. It's
pretty rad. It must be pretty good.
And, okay, so the last question we have for you.
Yeah.
There's a question we pose around here, and it's called, what is your up-the-butt bike?
my up the butt bike.
The bike that you would take it up the butt for. It's your fantasy bike with a great price.
It's the one I'm riding today. No.
Oh my god!
No.
A Schwinn missing both rims.
That's right.
I realize now. He may have taken it up the butt for that bike. I might be putting my foot in my mouth, but...
No, I didn't. I bought it.
Clear what title. Is your, like, the, like, you'd pay the greatest price for this dream bike?
I like, right now, some of the, like, Enduro Beamers, like an 850.
I think I know someone who can make that happen.
Yeah, I'm sure.
If you're interested, I can give you his number.
Yeah, I got about.
I wouldn't trust him. He'll put it in your butt, and he won't give you the bike.
Yeah.
How'd that happen to you?
It's not worth it for having to pay that price. I'll stay on the one I'm on right now. Thank you very much. It's quite comfortable for me.
Well, all that tells me is that you need to expose yourself to more bikes. Yeah. There are. Really,
they're
amazing.
Way more expensive bikes than that. You can take.
Oh sure.
Bike. Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
Well, give me an example. What's your up the butt bike?
Yeah.
My up the butt. See that orange model? That's actually a Harley racing bike, VR1000.
Yeah.
That's rare. It's powerful. It's mean. Not many people have ridden it. I mean, that's like not something. It's probably my up the butt bike is probably not something I'd ride.
Yeah.
But just park in my living
room.
In the
living room bike.
And put in a giant glass box.
Yeah, yeah. See, for me right now in my life, I can't be bothered to like polish a bike very much. You know, I want a bike that I can get dirty and put it away. And
if I take one up the butt, it's going to be my retirement plan.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's an investment. Yeah. See, I devalue my motorcycle investments. So.
Well, you keep hanging out with us, and you'll learn more about bikes. I mean, that's just what we do. We love to talk about bikes and work on bikes and ride bikes. And like old-timers like John and I like to teach people
mm-hmm.
about what's cool and what's not.
Yeah.
Which we may argue about.
That's true.
Well, really, I'm just checking you guys out today because I have a project bike that I want to bring down here and have you guys like look over my shoulder and tell me what I screwed up on it already.
Yeah, we're good at that.
But, you
well,
know, gotta fill you guys out
is
first.
Bringing it here.
Yeah,
shut up.
It can't be any worse than where it's sitting now up the hill under a carport. You know. So.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much, Dan, for getting to know you.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you.
Alright, we're back. Alright, moving right on. I wanted to talk about what we're working on today. Let's start with Zoe.
Ha 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 ha!
What's your update?
This week I got a little adventurous and I sold my only vehicle, my 92 Honda Shadow, and I ended up purchasing Liza's CBR 600.
Formerly Eason's,
yeah. I ended up throwing a headlight on it temporarily and getting that working. Got the rear brake light and tail light working. Threw a mirror on it. Haven't done too much. I also bought a new brake line for it.
So ordered a custom brake line.
Yeah, because it's got the extended raised bars.
Where'd you get it?
Hood shop.
Took it up there just to get that done. And
yeah.
David, you had a grand idea today.
Yeah, Doug and I took the stock pipes off my bike.
Wait, how are you throwing him under the bus?
Was that keeping you from shifting into second, the stock pipe?
It was. I needed Doug's approval.
Well, we actually heard him shift into second.
Yeah, we were listening to you down the street.
So loud. We heard you shift
and we went, he can do it! And you put on a chair.
Yay!
Yeah, so what? We went for a ride. Never saw any police.
No, I was surprised about that, especially when we were cutting through traffic over by Costco and down on Laurel.
So your grand idea is take your...
It was really loud, Justin.
Perfectly
really loud.
Good running and not ugly Ninja 250. Take all the plastics off, take the pipes off, make it loud and ugly.
250.
It's not that bad.
It's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
It's uglier without the plastics.
That's debatable.
Exactly.
That is
and
debatable.
I just won. But yeah,
yeah
I still think you should keep it that way and find another project bike.
So think about it. If you got a project bike, then you'd have two. If anything ever happened to the ninja, you'd have that as a backup. If anything happened to the other one, you'd have the ninja as a backup. You can get a project bike fairly cheap. Or sell your ninja, like Lys is kind of been poking
at. You know what they call people who work on their only bike as a when they don't have an ulterior means of transportation? Bus passengers? Pedestrians.
Oh yeah, I felt like that this last week.
Let's see, and my update on the XL175, which you guys haven't heard about, is I was test riding it, trying to figure out why the transmission isn't right, and I told Zoe, hop on, take it down the street, ride it easy, shift through the gears, and that's when she sheared the bolts on the rear sprocket.
It wasn't my fault.
She hit second, and clunk!
The engine's like, nope, and the bike stops.
Yes.
That was quite
good. Shear the bolts.
Yeah. One of them was already sheared.
So progress then.
More things fell off.
Jesus.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but when you got that bike, it's like, oh god. POS.
I think that's how Liza felt when she got the bike too, if I'm not mistaken.
I feel like it's an orphan and I need to take care of it yes. It's a broken, lonely child.
Yeah, but it's got like Lyme disease and like the ticks.
It's got a heart issue.
Yeah.
It's missing
arms. Oh, exactly. It's got a peg leg. Just took that peg leg out of over. Get it out of here.
No one else would take this much time to keep it going. Yeah.
It's a good learning experience. You took it down the
transmission. Like more money from Uncle Scrooge is not going to save
don't
this, you maybe.
Don't give me 20 bucks for it at the
junkyard. Yeah, well... Wait, your GS425 lonely?
No.
Where is it? And what canyon is it in?
I'm not sure. Not sure where it is now. I took it to the fucking junkyard because I'm not a moron.
Well, debatable.
And then we had a bunch of new people today.
Yeah, that was cool.
Winslow with his CB750 Super Sport, which is... Oh.
He got for $1.
No,
that was silly.
He paid
$2,000
for that.
Oh, okay. That was the other
choice. And the rear master cylinder is toast, and there are none available on the internet.
Ouch.
Woof.
It's like super ouch.
Yeah, because all the other CB750s have a drum brake, not a rear master cylinder, except for the Super Sports. And then John showed up on his FZ600 that he paid $1 for and didn't expect to have it running today, but thanks to Douglas.
Who putting gas in it.
It is running.
That's not to say undersell Doug's skills.
Oh, and guess how he got here.
Douglas?
Yeah, totally.
Toad on the Trail 70.
It's becoming a pretty reliable mode of transportation.
Paying dividends or something.
The airbox was taken out of this 600 and he's got the pods on it. And then he says his friend, who's not very mechanically inclined, jetted it up.
And
so
spent $180
on the jets. I don't know how that's possible, but... So I'm thinking carburation right away. So we take off the gas tank, and I notice it's really light. And so we get the auxiliary and hook it up and everything, and it charge it, and it fires. No problem. A little boggy on the low end. So he went and got some gas. We put some gas in it, and then I said, take it out. Go around the block a few times. And the left side cover is missing, so we don't know which way the petcock is on. And apparently the first way we had it, I sent him out on that, it was off.
All right.
So he ran it, and it ran around, that's why it died. At wherever
seems
he
like
was
that's
at.
Been a running issue today.
But you could tell the fuel filter, which is below the carburetor, had a bunch of gas in it, so we didn't think to check and see if that was the problem. So we brought it back.
You here, ended up pushing
and then
the bag
I
that
took
time.
It. I took all it out right. again without turning the petcock, and it did the same thing to me. It just died. So I'm thinking, what the hell is wrong with this carburetor? So I get it back here, and I'm just fiddling with it just to check all the variables. Sure enough, turn it, and the gas starts flowing. Other than that, you just need a new battery. But it was just gas the whole time.
Best dollar ever spent.
Yeah.
And then we had Joe on his Nighthawk 650.
That was my
and
bike.
What was funny is I was talking to the new guys and just telling them how we don't just do bike repair, but we also help teach people things like how to use the center stand and stuff like that. I was explaining, then Winslow goes, can you show me how to use the center stand? He didn't know, and then Joe came over. I showed him, see how easy it is? And then Joe's like, can you show me how to do mine, too? I'm like, oh, this is exactly why we do the shop. Little things like John's that. They couldn't figure it out. They were both pulling on the handlebars.
Was it both Winslow and Joe?
Yes, both Winslow and Joe, and they're both of their bikes didn't know how to use the center stand. Couldn't figure it out.
Winslow's a last name. What's that guy's last name?
I don't know.
It's probably a first name.
Arizona?
It's like Winslow Matthew. It's
like, Winslow yeah, James.
Yeah, Winslow James, yeah.
And Joe really had nothing to do on his bike. He checked the level of water in the battery.
Oh, alright.
Oh, his blinkers won't work. But I told him he just has to disconnect them. But to disconnect them, you got to take the seat off and the headlight off. But I guess he didn't want to do that. So he just kept taking the flasher in and out.
I don't know. I wasn't monitoring him.
But it was nice having some new guys. Oh, and I checked out Winslow's helmet. It was a crappy, old, too large AGV helmet. Went and pulled out one of the donated helmets. Just said, Merry Christmas. I gave it to him.
Good.
He acted like it was Christmas. He was like, wow.
Wasn't a showy with gloves really on it, right?
Yeah. And then,
you gave some other gear to John.
Well, yeah, I gave to David the pants, which I think he thought that John's butt looked better in it.
Definitely.
So he let him have them.
Oh, he could work those pants.
Oh, yeah. He kept bending over for us. It was awesome.
You put on a little show in here, too. Oh, you still owe me the 35 cents. Wait, what? That wasn't you?
That's going to break the bank.
Yeah, who walks in there? You should be paying me, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just getting changed in shorts. I get 10%
management fee.
Wait, it costs 35 cents to watch Megan get changed?
Well, I asked for 50. Cause... He offered 35.
You know his pocket's rustling?
It's extra if I sit on the bike. Got Jimmy, a dime on Jimmy, it. The big bucks.
He was like $1.50, I think.
So, something I wanted to talk about today. Tiered licensing or restrictions or something came up last week when David asked if I would sell him the CBR 600, and I said no, because you're 17 and I don't think you're ready for a CBR 600.
Not the David that's here.
Not the David that's here.
Don't
but him too.
what is that? What are you saying? I'm ready.
Well, as somebody who is younger, not as young as the other David, but and somebody who's still a newer rider, I want to get your side of it, too, because I think probably us older riders are like, yeah, fuck that. Keep them on mopeds until they're 22. I don't care. What's your opinion, John?
You're against tiered licensing?
Yeah.
Why? Darwinism? Social Darwinism?
Well, number one, that's how you get relatively new, fast motorcycles. Is by buying them slightly crashed for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. I have learned that. Plus, that's still kind of social Darwinism.
I've owned many, many motorcycles that scared the shit out of somebody else. And they got sold to me real cheap. So
CC from 1974. It's not going to be nearly as powerful as a 2013 400cc either.
Your version is based on horsepower. Right. Yeah. That's why the BMW F700 exists, and the F650.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same engine as mine, but they detuned it so that it would meet their tiered licensing specifics, which someone should probably explain exactly how tiered licensing works, as opposed to simply thinking that it's not just age-based.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. Do you base it on experience level or age?
Well, other countries do it based off of testing. So, like, you have the M1 here.
Japan.
Yeah.
You have to pass certain...
Yeah, so for the size of the bike or the horsepower, you have to pass a test to be able to get it. So generally, you start on like a scooter or a small Ninja 250. So actually, even small, I think you have to have a secondary license like in Europe to even get a 250. Like there's even a category below that.
Yeah, they start on like 125s and
stuff. Yeah. They start you out on little bikes, and then you have to pass tests, and then you actually have to take those tests on the bikes that you're going to be riding. So, and they tier it, and each one is more and more involved. So I think I don't know the exact tiers, but I know one of them, it takes like 2 days of different tests through before you can actually get it passed. And it's very difficult to the point where a lot of people don't pass it. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things that a lot of people have to retake. So,
yeah, it's funny. I had a lot of Japanese tourists want to take pictures of my bikes and stuff because they just don't see them in Japan, big, fast motorcycles like we have out here.
Were you hanging out at the entrance to Disneyland?
I'm sorry no one's ever cared about you
so
it's true.
David, I want to know your opinion on this.
I think it's your headspace. It's your head state. If you've lost that invincibility feeling, you should be free to do whatever you want.
What invincibility feeling?
It's probably testosterone fueled, but I'm sure David still has that feeling.
I think Donut is absolutely wrong on this.
How so, Justin? How so?
First, that... Alright. If you're going to talk about this, talk about actual accident statistics. Like, maybe peer-reviewed studies that have occurred in the past.
Hurt report.
Right.
Well, the hurt report's 80 years old. It's 30 years old, it's out of date. Perhaps if someone had done an in-depth study on motorcycle accidents, it would be a good idea. Like, maybe the Mays Report. A motorcycle accident in-depth study conducted by the EU.
California Department of Transportation, I believe, still does them every year. On crash statistics. Over the last just year, there's been a giant increase in people lane splitting and getting in accidents from lane splitting.
I'm going to call bullshit.
No.
I'm going to call bullshit on their methodology.
That might be true.
Because the California Department of Transportation does not do practice peer review.
Okay.
The Mays Report was required to, and it states that in lane splitting, 2.5% of the accidents involving a motorcycle occurred while the motorcycle was stopped at a stop sign or stop light. Mm. 0.5% occurred while it was involved in lane splitting. We can assume that you spend as much time sitting at a stoplight as you do lane splitting. Some of us more. So that even by mile number or by minute spent on the bike is going to be... But the DMV will quote that to you.
Oh, yeah.
Except that they have statistical basis for it. But if you're going to talk about tiered licensing, it's miles on the clock. Mm-hmm. Period. I mean, it's the only consistent... Because you have guys out there... I got a neighbor who has ridden for the last 40 years and never been in an accident. And I've heard him go riding. Every other weekend, I hear his Harley start up. And about an hour later, I hear his Harley come back. And he's been doing that for, you do that for a long time, they say have 4 years experience. There's no, that doesn't give you any additional.
But that doesn't necessarily make him capable of riding a different style motorcycle. Because the statistics also say that cruiser style bikes are less likely to crash. There's less crashes involving them. There's less accidents involving them. And the only reason I think that is because more aggressive bikes, people are being more aggressive on them and laying them down and actually taking turns.
That's not true. Would need to give me a sourcing for that.
I will.
I was under the impression that the statistics went straight along the lines of numbers of motorcycles on the road.
Yeah.
That Harleys have the same crash percentages as any other brand of motorcycle.
No.
I don't know where you saw
did
that.
Did they take into account what percentage of riders own certain types of bikes? So let's say there's only a certain percentage of riders who own Harleys and a certain percentage who own sport bikes. Shouldn't that factor into
that was involved in the accident?
Well, but think about it too. People on sport bikes have accidents all the time, get up, brush themselves off, keep going. And you have an accident on a Harley, it's...
Yeah, but this is reported accidents.
Yeah.
This is reported accidents. This means somebody actually had the accident and reported it to the DMV. This is not based off of anything else besides...
Well, and when you talk to the Harley world, too, what's the beginner Harley bike?
Sportster.
An 883 Sportster. Mm-hmm. Is that... Do you think that somebody who's a beginner should be starting on a Ninja 250, or do you think an 883 Sportster is still fine? Or do you think that's too much?
I think it also depends on, where you're riding. You know what I mean? If you're a person that's riding in the city and there's a much higher chance that you're going to get smacked or you're going to hit something versus someone who grows up riding in a country and just has a lower chance of... I mean, and that's, I think, why it should come down to
like seat time, because it's like the time you spend on the seat kind of shapes the way you ride your motorcycle, depending on where you're.
And right now the system is, and it was, I think, for us that are older, I mean, before there was even a helmet law, get somebody to loan you their bike and you go out and teach yourself how to ride on the street. That was how we all learned.
Sure.
Before, like, the MSF classes, before helmet laws and all that. And I feel like it worked for me, but and yeah, it
was snowing, and we went both ways uphill.
Honestly, though, having just taken the MSF course, I think it's too freaking easy. Well, I think that
there were some people there
that I remember going, they're getting their license after this. Like, this is kind of frightening.
Well, what's more frightening, though, is people who don't bother getting a license at all.
Yeah.
And go out and buy a 1,000cc sport bike.
Which happens all the time.
There's also a second tier to the MSF
course. Yeah. I know there is. There is an advanced
and they put a little bit...
to just get your license, I think it's too easy. You pay $200, you take a course, and they waive the driving fee.
But I think the same argument could be made with a car. Right. You don't have to be... And we drive automatics here. We don't even have to know how to drive a stick.
The alternative to getting your license, not going to the MSF and running the lollipop at the DMV is far more ridiculous than the MSF.
It really is.
I'm just saying, in general, I think it's too easy to get your license.
For those of you who have taken the MSF, is there anything you're learning there that we can't teach you in the parking lot in half an hour?
Half an hour parking lot over to YouTube? No.
Yeah, seriously.
I learned some riders are the worst riders. I mean, a guy rode up on his bike, 600-something.
Yeah.
Didn't pass the course and rode off on his bike. I have
two people in my class. One was on, like, an 1100, and one was on an 800-something. I don't know what they were, but and they were some of the worst riders there.
On mine, a girl who rode up on a bike hit me, like, during the class. Like, we stopped for a drill, and she ran into me. Like,
it was a little frightening. Like, these people are going to be on the road.
Are on the road.
That was a little frightening.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that we all became better riders faster because we threw ourselves into the fire, and we learned how to ride. We had these oops and I mean, we survived, therefore I think we became better riders faster, but...
I don't know. I think it took longer to learn how to ride a motorcycle for me because I didn't have any instruction. I had to figure it all out on my own. I think that takes a lot longer than having someone sit you down and tell you, look, this is how the braking works, this is how it affects the motorcycle, this is how you countersteer, this is how the dynamics of a motorcycle works. I think you're going to learn and be faster by having instruction. If I would have gone out and did track days my first 2 years of riding motorcycles, I'd have been a motorcycle rider faster.
I did track days. I just followed you through the mountains.
So, I mean, it is very debatable.
But then again, I don't think there's necessarily a single right way to do it. That's It's also the mentality and the mindset of the rider.
There's just some people that shouldn't be behind a wheel.
Yeah, no, you're like car or motorcycle, either one.
I don't have anything against tiered licensing. I think it makes you a better rider. If only because you're forced to ride this horrendously slow bike that's really light and handles really well, and you learn how to drag knee at 20 miles an hour. You know what I mean? And I think it makes you a better rider.
I'll be honest. I've known people who were very hesitant and slow learners who I wasn't comfortable putting them on bigger bikes. And then there's guys like when I put my RT 1100 up for sale, this guy showed up. Nice guy. He admitted he didn't know how to ride. but he was ready to try and ride at home. I instead offered to take him over to the West Side streets with a rat bike, spend an hour to teach him to ride. He picked it up like that. He's one of those guys, you just explain it, he processes it, he goes. Within an hour, he'd been zipping all around the neighborhood, came back, stuck him on the RT, rode it home. He used to send me pictures of his trips to Yosemite and stuff like that. We've stayed in touch. He was fully capable. He's the type of person that could have gone through a tiered testing system pretty quickly. There are other people who wouldn't be able to progress through. And then I kind of like that idea of limiting, I guess, the horsepower of the bike. And then there's the whole problem, how do you enforce that?
So, exactly, yeah. How do you... Is this only when you get pulled over? Are they going to be like, oh, you know, you're not registered for this kind of bike?
Colored plates? Or, you know, something like that?
So who has to stop you from just going on and getting on a big ass 1300.
That they do exactly what they, which what happens if you're caught without a license today?
Yeah.
You know what happens if you're riding without a license, right? They take your bike.
To well, the impound wouldn't take your bike. They'd take someone else's bike.
Yeah. So they took the bike that, and probably your bike actually. There isn't an easy way to implement it. There isn't there's not a method I can think of that isn't going to cost a huge amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the skills taught, say, at the MSF are not
all-encompassing.
Well, and the skills taught, whether it, instruction we do here, that's not what keeps you safe on the road.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps you safe on the road is, and we have new riders here and people with, you know, who have passed six digits on miles. When you have lots of miles, I used to think I was a good rider. Now, I'll come around a corner, and I will have popped up and popped back down to avoid the obstruction, and then realize there is an obstruction. Going through traffic, I'm tracking that one guy's on a cell phone, another guy's on texting. There is this...
Sixth sense?
No, it's not sixth sense. It's simply experiential processing.
Right.
There are a whole lot of things that have caused me problems in the past that I'm tracking up there. I used to think that I was good at tracking, and I can guarantee you that in 10 years, I'm going to say the same thing. I used to think I was really good at tracking, and now I'm really good.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that I haven't decided to get a traumatic brain injury. And so it's only miles that does it. If you're going to do a tier licensing, simply requiring them to prove they have the amount of miles is, it's the cheapest way to do it. But in the end, we know that we're not going to get tiered licensing in the States.
Yeah.
The guy who keeps on selling 1,000 cc bikes to the guys outside of Peckham Pendleton, they never.
Did you guys hear about this kid? I think it was 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. I think it was Texas. He didn't have a license. He went to a motorcycle shop, bought a, I think it was a Gixxer. His mom drove him there to pick it up.
Oh,
he pulled out of the driveway onto a frontage road alongside the freeway.
This is one of those stories, right? Like,
this just happened like 3 weeks ago. Okay. Pulled out of the driveway, lost control of the bike, high-sided into an oncoming car who ran over him and killed him in front of his mother.
Was the bike okay?
And now, good question.
Was the bike okay?
And now they're pointing fingers at the motorcycle shop.
Yeah.
What?
No.
This happened in Texas?
No. Yeah.
That's like signing your own death warrant right
there. The same thing as selling a gun to someone who's not going to use it and they shoot
themselves. It was all for independence.
It's not their responsibility.
Personal responsibility.
No, but you can't do that. In order to buy a gun, you now need to have gone through a safety course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Handgun.
All right, handgun. And the only way you get out of it is by showing a badge or military ID. That I know.
Right, but the way that freaking thing is to pass. Yeah. We didn't study for it. I passed it the first time. It was like
I blame 15 his mom.
Multiple choice. Like, yeah. Which way does the bullet travel?
Yeah, I mean, where should you point the gun?
It's how do you people, load it? At people. How does this cartridge?
I'm with
for?
You, Liza.
Yeah. How did he tell his mom into that?
Yeah.
Shouldn't be the.
I still have it. Like, there's still a conversation.
You can't protect. You can't protect people from their own stupidity, for the same reason of opposition to a helmet law. I don't oppose a helmet law because it's unsafe. I pose a helmet law because if people want to be morons, they should be morons.
It's America.
Sure. If you want to buy a liter bike and take it out and smear it down the highway, well, I would prefer that you buy an F800 and do that because I need parts. Right? If you want to be an idiot, be an idiot.
Are you listening out there, Florida?
If this was your state, though, if you were governor, you wouldn't want that. Helmet law.
Why?
Well, because it's the same argument as, like, well, why are seatbelts mandatory? You know, it's like,
well,
you
there's,
want to
there's the argument that
themselves.
It's cheaper to not have a helmet law because people just die instead of languishing in
hospital. Actually,
on the taxpayer does.
Yeah,
and organ donations.
For that.
Yeah.
Organ donations go up because the only organ that's damaged is the one they weren't using.
And the idiots who die go down, so the world seems to be a better place.
Yeah.
Until someone takes out a car full of kids or something like that.
Anybody know if a motorcycle has successfully taken out a car and killed people on the road?
Liza told a story about this the other day.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There's plenty of motorcycles that have been going fast enough to enter into the vehicle.
They had that at motorcycle shows. I think
think it happened in Europe. It was a VW, like a Passat or something. Somebody riding a motorcycle so fast. No, it went right through. The motorcycle hit it right in the middle of the side and went all the way through it. And killed everybody inside, and they had that car from the front and back. It looked perfectly fine, and they came around the
and
side.
You guys keep doubting the whole splitting the cow story.
There's numerous
splitting cows. I believe now that
there's numerous instances of motorcycles doing this. There's a famous one where a motorcycle went into the back of a minivan.
Are we talking about 160
miles an hour?
But
made it all the way into the engine compartment.
But what I'm getting at, though, is those stories are so much more minute than a motorcyclist hurting or injuring themselves. And it's much more possible that someone in a car is going to kill somebody else in a car.
Or on a motorcycle.
Yeah. Well, then there's the fact motorcycle accidents are caused by the car driver.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it also brings up, I also think that teenagers should be limited to what size car they can drive.
Oh, yeah, please.
I mean, the same thing.
How do you regulate that?
Yeah. Or just give everyone cabriolets.
I only know 8 people that got in car accidents the day they got their driver's license.
So then the issue is just universal. Some people are just idiots bound to hurt themselves on the road.
And you just want to, like, inhibit their ability to have a machine that lets them hurt themselves faster.
I would be more in support of tiered licensing for cars than for motorcycles. Because at least on a motorcycle, you're most likely only to hurt yourself.
Sure. I mean, was I wrong to tell Davey no, I'm not going to sell you this bike?
You're absolutely
just
correct.
Crashed the rat.
I know.
I mean, and that bike's faster.
But that bike, it doesn't have brakes, but it will.
It will
have a front brake.
Well, why did he crash the rat? Because he thought he was invincible.
Well, that's there's the other problem. And the other problem resides there. Sorry, John, Liza, myself, Doug. We are the other part of the problem.
You are.
Let's hear it.
We are seriously.
Like, you don't even know what he's going to say, and you're siding with him.
Oh, no.
I agree with Randy Mamola. You apparently agree with Kenny Roberts.
That
what?
When we ride at the skill level that we ride at, we encourage the rest of them to ride at that level.
Well, that's what we always encourage, having multiple groups.
Ride your own ride. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm not talking about group rides. I'm talking about just
seeing someone ride.
The thing is, I've never seen John ride. Every time we
And that's part of the mystique. You blow somebody off within
and
two turns.
Yeah.
That way, they never see you make any mistakes.
Exactly.
And they don't
and actually,
have
you're
no idea how fast you are.
A very experienced rider who commutes some of the better roads up here. That's actually his policy, is that if you try and follow him, if he sees you in the rearview mirror, he lays it on and blows you and disappears in two turns because he doesn't want the responsibility of that guy trying to follow.
So you've ridden with John, too.
There were stories back in the day of Kenny Roberts, where Randy Mamola did, in fact, ride around here in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Kenny Roberts supposedly rode around in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Kenny apparently stopped because he was worried that he was going to accidentally kill somebody, you know, get sucked into a turn behind him. Randy Mamola apparently didn't give a shit. He was just like, if you get sucked into a turn behind me, you're stupid.
Yeah.
So understanding that the example that you did, you may not be responsible for how someone takes that example, but it is a predictable result.
Sure.
It is a predictable result that if Doug and I are playing at the front of a pack and we're pushing our limits and we're having a lot of fun,
ooh,
that someone is going to try and Davey's going to try and follow close to that speed. And if you're crossing the double yellow, you are beyond your limits.
But this is the thing, though. Davey, at that point in time, he didn't notice anybody in front of him.
Right.
So he wasn't really
following. He was blowing the double yellow before that.
Yeah. Was he?
Yeah, but he decided to leave that slower group and try and catch up to the front group.
So he was blowing the double yellow in the slower group, and he decides to go to a faster group?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's what's known
not in a candidate for a self-inflicted wound.
And we all told him after, like, midway, when we all kind of stopped to kind of pull over and cut it out, but he...
But you can't tell people
so.
You can't tell
going.
A girl that she's dating a dickhead. I've tried with Megan for a long time. And Modi won't listen too.
Dodge that bullet.
And Modi won't listen. I didn't even make the effort. You can't tell a girl she's dating a dick. She's not going to listen to you. She's never going to listen to you until she figures it out for herself. You can't tell a guy he's going too fast or a girl they're going too fast. They don't listen to you.
Right.
You can sit there and tell them every horror story on the planet, and they're not going to listen to you. They're going to learn it exactly the same way you did, which is by dodging death or having to have, you know, gravel picked out of their legs.
What I don't have a statistic in front of me, but
that's
just
all I learned.
Off the cuff, what do you think the average age is of a new rider?
Oh, geez. Well, the things has changed.
Because yeah, it's still considered a recreational vehicle, so it's usually people, older people can afford it.
For a while, it was but, like 42.
Yeah. But now, with the economy and everything, a lot of people are looking at motorcycles, so there are more younger riders.
I would say it's much like the Pan American that you find. That's two groups. It's 18
to 25.
And then, like, 18 to 25, and then 40 plus. That's your new rider groups are in, are would be clustered in those.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Seems to be the people I've met.
Yeah. Purely anecdotal, no evidence.
So.
No, I can believe that because you're going to have two different types of people that want to get into motorcycles. People that are young and adrenaline seeking and into it, and people that are old and getting to be retired or having a midlife crisis and want to use their money to spend something on, and they've been good their whole lives, you know, becoming a dentist or whatever the hell it is they're doing, and now they want to ride Arthur's.
Well, and there's another difference between riding's perishable skill, that donut is likely to be very dangerous for the next, how many miles on your clock?
I got 7K.
All right, so for the next
850,000 miles.
Right. Well, for the next 2,000 miles, he's still in a lot of danger. The first 8,000 miles or so.
No.
If he rides consistently, right, if he keeps the skills up. Right. The guy who rides every, you know, once on the weekend, if he pushes his limit at all, he's going to toast himself.
At what age is a male brain fully...
Never.
I've heard it's 62, but I'm not sure yet.
Which brain have sex anymore?
Yeah, which brain are you talking about?
I'm actually wondering if the teenagers don't have yet the... I've heard that the brain isn't fully developed yet.
It isn't.
And they don't have the...
It's 21 discipline. To 25.
Exactly, I was going to say.
21 to 25.
It's supposed to fully develop around 24, 25.
I think you're better off, actually, with
depending
them.
On to understand the repercussions. Yeah.
Depending on gender, 21 to 25.
Yeah.
I would give reduced insurance rates to people who ride at age 6.
Sure.
And who ride as teenagers, particularly dirt riders.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have to be a dirt rider.
Well, because they crash. If you ride dirt, you crash and you crash and you crash and you crash and you crash. And it teaches you a lot of things, like don't panic when you're about to crash. You might not.
Davey is a dirt rider.
Well, which might explain why he's surviving now. His survival was in doubt for a little bit there.
Mm. And I'm being a bit of a hypocrite because I'm always telling people don't buy Ninja 250s. They're too small. You're going to outgrow it in 2 months. You've had yours how long now?
A couple months.
And
half a year.
And John, who's here today, said he'd had his 4 years, I think?
Mm-hmm. No, like five or six, actually.
And my instinct was, really?
It was his only bike?
Yeah.
Until today.
He said he got it in 2008.
I mean, unless he's been a student and that's his commuter bike, then it's perfectly fine.
Totally.
But you can haul ass on those motorcycles. I don't know why.
You really can.
But I'm just saying, I'm being a hypocrite because I always advise people not to get it. It's too small. Mm-hmm. But here I'm saying, but actually, the state should limit you to something small like that.
You know, it's got nothing to do with how the top speed of the motorcycle. The speed through the turns.
I think actually that, and it's going to sound horribly brown nosy. Vampire's MC is responsible for me not being smeared down the highway. Hmm.
God damn it.
Because, of any deliberate efforts on their part, but because it was a place where I found experienced riders who would make the pointed comment at the end of the ride, or, and the discussions about how to ride, would provide me with the information that would later be useful. That there was a culture of wear the right gear, wear the protective gear. If you show up on a tennis shoe in running shoes, you're gonna get mocked. But also talking about what you're doing right and wrong. That someone, you know, if you're in the middle of a ride and someone comes up and says, you know, you realize that when you go in that corner, you're counter leaning as you go in, and that's why you keep on blowing it.
What?
Yeah, and the mentorship of each generation of riders is probably the thing that is most likely to reduce collisions.
I'm glad you said it. That's part of what I try and do here is all around mentoring, you know, and hopefully by having the slow group on the rides, we're trying to give people the skills without the pressure to keep up.
That's true. I think so. I've learned a lot going on the vampire's rides, and I know I've been far from the fastest.
Like on that dirt road where it was just you and me?
Fuck that! We were going through the desert
together. It was awesome. Actually, that was... Yeah, never mind.
James. But no, I learned actually a lot on that dirt road. I mean, I realized, A, my bike can go on it.
B, the vampires are assholes.
I'm just glad I won.
And C, I survived it. So it was
I was just saying,
did you really?
Because I was being nice.
I wish you should have been with us. Why were you being nice?
Because it was really comfy.
You should have come up with me and Adrian.
So just for the record, as the vampires hit the dirt road and everybody else slowed down about 5 miles an hour, My oversized adventure bike and I were doing about 30 as I was just sort of tooling along up there and having a really wonderful time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it, but 90% of us were on bikes that weren't good for that
time. I'm enjoying John and Adrian are doing
and 80% of those 90% had a bike at home that was good for that ride.
Yeah.
Had we been told.
We switched, I went home and switched out the DRZ for the Ninja.
I know.
Because yes. We're riding 2-0.
Wow.
And then we go straight to that fucking road.
You should have stuck with me and then you wouldn't have been eating the
rest. Really should have just gotten off and walked. I
should have gotten the trail out there and just towed that shit.
So I just want to recap. We'll go around. I want to hear if you were yay or nay on this because apparently our vote's going to count. So I would say yes, I'm for it. How about you, Zoe?
Maybe.
Douglas?
I don't really care. I got my license.
Megan?
Yes.
Moti?
Yeah, but I'm open to discussion.
Justin?
Mileage-based only.
Donut?
I've got a completely different opinion. I mean, my head's elsewhere, so...
So, yes. So, yes, you're for it or you're not for it? You cannot be for it. It's okay.
Yeah.
I think it's
obsolete. He's forgotten what the question was.
I think it's obsolete. I don't think we... It's... Yeah.
Unenforceable or undoable.
Sure.
And you're probably right, and that's why it doesn't exist. And John?
God, you know, I struggle with this. My head says, yeah, tiered licensing is the way to go.
But
my
your body
says,
telling
fuck
you
this.
No.
This is America. You know? But I'm also against the helmet law. Not because I don't want to wear
me
a helmet,
too.
But because it's easier to get pick up chicks at bars if you don't have to carry around an extra helmet. And
especially with no bike.
And, you know,
that's
you should
hard,
be,
that's
you should be free
school,
to do what you want to do. Should be free,
have
you should
be
free to do what you want to do.
Tiered, but it should be harder to get your initial license.
Yeah.
It should be harder to get your permit, which is a question, or it's a multiple choice question. And you read the handbook for 20 minutes before you take it, and then you're okay to go ride on any bike you want without getting on the freeway, without riding at night, and no passenger.
Yeah.
And you do that for X amount of time, and then you go in and take another written and a little 5-minute road course.
Who, while on the permit, rode at night with a passenger on the freeway?
Well, I sure as hell did.
Yeah, I rode at night.
Everybody
which go around with the permit?
You don't have to show the DMV in California that you know how to ride to get a permit. And then you can get on any bike you want.
Mm-hmm.
So they should make it harder to get your permit and harder to make to get your license. From that point on, it doesn't matter what you ride or what you do.
But there's another thing. I know we're running short on time, but refresher courses. I mean, over the years, you might forget a few things.
Yeah.
You might not actually ride as hard.
Nanny state.
After, like, age 60, maybe.
All right, well, we'll wrap this up. If you would like to share your opinion with us, please email us at recyclemotorcyclegarage@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we are out.
Cool.
Bye!